is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
The Bible tells us that counterfeit authority is the foundation of man-made doctrines. What kinds of counterfeit authorities were at work in Colossae? At the time the Apostle Paul wrote to the church there, warning the believers to remain free from the tyranny of man-made doctrines. Well, stay tuned for the answer as we continue our series titled Truth Above All, from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. And I encourage you to stay tuned at the end of today's message for information about a special free book offer. And as we prepare to open God's Word together, let's ask His blessing on our study. Father, we come now to Your Word as people in need of sound doctrine. Father, we also need for You to reprove and correct us if there are areas in our lives and thinking in which we have strayed from the path of Your pure truth. We need to be instructed in righteousness. And so as we open Your Word now, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will do His work in each of our hearts, that we may be thoroughly equipped, thoroughly fitted out for every good work. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We are studying the Bible's warning against the tyranny of man-made doctrines, as we find it in the last six verses of Colossians chapter 2. As we continue that study today, we are going to focus on the vital question of authority. By what authority do man-made doctrines come? The Bible tells us that the men and women who invent and promote man-made doctrines are exercising counterfeit authority, illegitimate authority. There is only one genuine source of authority, one legitimate source of authority, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the Christian and for the church in this world, there is only one legitimate written authority, one authority for doctrine and for life, and that is the Word of God, which has been given to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So as we take up this question of authority today, if you are able to do so, I hope that you will open your Bible with me to the passage we are considering in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Let us go to our legitimate authority on this question, the inspired words of God the Holy Spirit, given to us through the Apostle Paul. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, that is, Jesus Christ, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now, in our last message, we focused on the fact that the ultimate source of man-made doctrines is Satan himself. We looked at a number of passages of Scripture that prove this, that prove the fact that Satan is the great counterfeiter. Satan has a counterfeit for every truth that we find in the Word of God. We saw from several passages last time that those who invent man-made doctrines are, in fact, the ministers of Satan. Satan and his ministers often claim to speak for God. Always behind the visible human face of falsehood is the invisible face of Satan himself, who Jesus tells us is a liar and the father of the lie. At the end of our last message, I said that as we look at the passage before us in Colossians chapter 2, as we see Paul warning us against man-made doctrines, we find that Paul is warning against four specific kinds or forms of satanic counterfeits that all come under this overall heading of man-made doctrines. Number one, we find that man-made doctrines always rest upon counterfeit authority instead of God's authority. Number two, we find that man-made doctrines often stimulate counterfeit worship. Number three, we find that man-made doctrines often tell us that we must approach God through counterfeit intercessors. And number four, we find that man-made doctrines often propagate counterfeit mysteries that are not the true mysteries of God. Now, we said that we are going to look more closely at each of these four kinds of counterfeits that are involved in man-made doctrines. It's vital for us to understand the nature of these counterfeits. We need to compare and contrast them with God's eternal truth. And so last time I mentioned that we are going to examine each of these counterfeits, counterfeit authority, counterfeit worship, counterfeit intercessors, and counterfeit mysteries through a four-step process. First of all, we need to understand the kinds of counterfeits that false teachers were trying to impose upon the Colossian believers at the time Paul wrote to them in the first century. We always need to understand that kind of background as we look at any passage of Scripture. And that will lay the proper groundwork for the steps that will follow. Secondly, we are going to briefly consider how similar kinds of counterfeits have developed and spread during the subsequent history of the church over the past 2,000 years. We cannot dwell on this for very long, but I believe it is important to understand that doctrinal counterfeits are and always have been a tyranny that the church has had to constantly guard against over the centuries. Our brief look at church history in each case will then lead us to a third step in our analysis, and that third step is that we need to understand that counterfeits of the same kind exist in the church in our time. In our day, the church is experiencing an epidemic of man-made counterfeits, man-made doctrines. Satan has been at work all through history, and he is still very much at work in this way in the church in our day. And then finally, I want to draw our attention back to the genuine article in each case. I want to draw our attention back to the genuine standard of truth. And so, as we look at each of these four forms of counterfeit, counterfeit authority, counterfeit worship, counterfeit intercessors, and counterfeit mysteries, I want to draw our attention each time back to what the Word of God says to us positively about authority, about worship, about intercessors, and about mysteries. It is always a wrong emphasis if we leave the subject of false teaching of any kind with our focus only on Satan's lies. We must always bring our eyes back to behold the preeminence of Christ and His truth. And so we begin today on this four-step basis as we examine, first of all, the evil tyranny of counterfeit authority, which is always the underpinning of man-made doctrines. Man-made doctrines have their roots in counterfeit authority, and counterfeit authority has its root in the person and work of Satan himself. So let us now take the first step in our analysis. What kinds of counterfeit authorities were men seeking to impose on the church at Colossae and the churches in the surrounding region at the time Paul wrote the words that we read a few moments ago? Paul tells us in verse 18 that the Colossians needed to remain free of anyone who would cheat them of their reward. And you may recall from an earlier message in this series that we said that the original language here is very descriptive and very instructive. What Paul is saying is this: do not let anyone judge you as disqualified to receive the reward that is yours in Christ because you do not obey that individual's or that group's teachings, which have no basis in Christ and no basis in His Word. These people claim to have the authority to set up their own doctrines. These people claim to have the authority to judge you by that doctrinal standard, but they do not have the authority to do either thing. They are exercising counterfeit authority. Now, in Colossae and the surrounding region, there were two main groups of people who were seeking to do this. The first group were the Judaizers. The Judaizers were saying that you had to keep the Old Testament Jewish regulations, circumcision, the dietary laws, the feasts, and all the rest, in addition to believing on Christ in order to be saved. Now, Paul has already addressed these false teachers decisively in the preceding section of chapter 2, in verses 11 through 17. We've already seen that. God has nailed these things to the cross of Christ, Paul says. Let no man judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which were shadows of things to come, types and symbols that were fulfilled once and for all in the first coming of Christ. But it is clear that Paul also has the Judaizers in mind when he talks about man-made doctrines in verses 18 through 23. And the reason this is true is because the Jews of the first century, and actually for many centuries before this time, they were always adding to and subtracting from Scripture with their own man-made doctrines. By this time, the Jews had built up, and they would continue to build up for several centuries more, a huge and complex body of regulations called the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Mishnah was supposedly a commentary on the Old Testament, and the Gemara was actually a commentary on the Mishnah, in other words, a commentary on the commentary. But both of these writings, both of these sets of writings, were filled with man-made doctrines that had no basis in Scripture. And these things had come to carry greater weight with the Jews than Scripture itself. This is what Jesus was speaking of at the beginning of Matthew chapter 15, when he called the Jewish religious leaders hypocrites. He said, "You have put your own man-made doctrines, your own traditions, above the Word of God. You have used your traditions to make the Word of God of no effect." And later in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, "You have used your man-made doctrines to tie burdens on the backs of men that God never intended them to bear. You have no authority to do this," Jesus says. "You are blind guides, blind leaders of the blind, and you will both fall into the ditch." Now, you may also remember that it was these Jewish religious leaders, these men who had invented a mountain of man-made doctrines. It was these very men, the Pharisees and the Sadducees in particular, who had the audacity to deny that Jesus had authority to teach the things that he taught during his earthly ministry. In the gospel accounts, we find repeatedly the statement that the Jewish people, who were steeped in these man-made doctrines and who accepted the authority of the Jewish religious leaders without question, these people were astonished at Jesus' teaching because he taught things that were contrary to the man-made doctrines of the day, and he taught as one having authority. We find that phrase repeatedly. He taught as one having authority. And the Jewish leaders, these inventors of man-made doctrines, repeatedly said to Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things? By what authority are you teaching these things?" In John chapter 8, Jesus said this to these men, a horrible indictment. He said, "My word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father in heaven, and you do what you have seen with your father," that is the devil. "You do the deeds of your father. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, not by God's authority, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. And so clearly, for the very same reason, Paul also has the Judaizers in mind when he warns against man-made doctrines here in Colossians chapter 2. Don't let the Judaizers take things away from the pure Word of God. Don't let them add things to the pure Word of God. And above all, don't let them judge you by such things. They have no authority to do this. But there was also a second group of people that Paul had in mind when he warned the Colossian believers against man-made doctrines. And that second group were the pagan Greek philosophers of that time. Colossae was a major center for pagan philosophy and pagan worship. And that was the environment that so many of the Colossian Christians had been saved out of by God's grace. Paul is warning them not to go back into that realm, the realm of the false authority of the pagan philosophers. Now, what did the pagan philosophers teach? Well, they taught many things. First of all, the Colossian believers were in the midst of many followers of what were called mystery religions. These people said that to experience true joy and to truly know and experience God, you had to have ecstatic, out-of-control religious experiences. You had to have times in your religious experience when you threw aside self-control, when you threw off even moral restraint. And they said that this counterfeit kind of joy was something to be sought after, much as the charismatics and the word of faith imposters say that a person must do today. And they say that if you don't do these things, it means that you are not a believer, or at least they will say that you are not truly spiritual. So the Colossian believers were facing this same sort of thing in their time. The Colossian believers were also being pressured by other pagan philosophers who said that you had to punish your physical body in order to achieve spiritual superiority. There were those who said that you had to avoid certain kinds of oils in your diet. There were those who said you had to be a vegetarian. If you don't do these things, they said, if you don't avoid these things, you are spiritually inferior. And Paul speaks against these people in Colossians chapter 2, verse 21, when he speaks of those who say, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Paul says these are the commandments and doctrines of men. But on the other hand, the Colossian believers were also being pressured by those who said the opposite of this. These people said that it doesn't matter what you do. You can try anything and everything, and it doesn't matter because the things of the flesh, physical pleasure and prosperity, health and wealth, this is the highest goal. These are the things that cast out fear, they said. And so many of these people lived immoral lives, and they made physical pleasure and prosperity their greatest goals in life. And that too sounds very familiar as we look at the church scene in our own time. And then the Colossians were also faced with other false teachers who said that a coming new life would not be imparted through Christ and the resurrection, but it would come by man transforming his own nature through good works. Here we have the seeds of what would later become Romanism, at this very early stage in the history of the church, and it's coming through paganism. Well, I could go into much more detail on these things, but this will give you some idea of the kinds of man-made doctrines the Colossian believers were up against. They were in the midst of a moral and philosophical disaster. They were surrounded by an epidemic of man-made doctrines based on counterfeit authority. All sorts of confused and even contradictory things. All of the teachers of these things claiming to have some kind of authority when they had no God-given authority at all. And all of these influences, all of this multitude of man-made doctrines were pressing in on the Colossian church. People seeking to draw them away and even tear them away from the authority of Christ their Redeemer and the authority of His pure Word. And so Paul is saying to the Colossian believers, stand firm in the face of all of this. Do not go back to living in the world. Man-made doctrines are of the world. They are of the devil. They have no authority. They are of no use to you. They are absolutely useless. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world. Why then, Paul says, would you possibly want to go back to these things? You are in Christ. Christ is in you. Therefore, remain in the realm of His authority. Do not stray outside of His genuine and legitimate authority into man-made, illegitimate authority. And do not permit these counterfeit authorities to gain any foothold in the church. Well, dear friends, I'm sure that many of you are recognizing parallels already between the kinds of man-made doctrines the Colossians were up against at the time this letter was written and the epidemic of man-made doctrines that are afflicting the church in our time. But we have much more to see concerning this vital matter of genuine and counterfeit authority. And so as we continue in our next message, we're going to turn our attention to some of the most significant kinds of counterfeit authorities that we find in subsequent church history. And we shall see even more parallels to our own situation in the present day in the evangelical church. But through it all, we shall continue constantly to come back to the anchor of genuine authority, the authority of Christ, the authority of His written word, and the authority of His indwelling Holy Spirit.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, today many Christians and many churches are getting out from under the authority of Christ and His Word. They're subjecting themselves to the tyranny of man-made doctrines. Well, during our series of messages on this great danger, we're offering a book that is a great encouragement to believers to reject these things and to stay true to the Word of God. The title of the book is Jesus Christ and Him Crucified by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. The title of the book is based on Paul's great statement at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he says this, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. I did not come with man-made doctrines. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I hope that you'll send for this book because I know it will be a great encouragement to you. And we'll send a free copy of Jesus Christ and Him crucified to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world while supplies last. Here's how to receive your free copy. Listeners in the United States can call us toll-free anytime 24 hours a day at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in the United States is 888-804-9655. You can also request your free copy of Jesus Christ and Him Crucified by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org. Just click the contact link on our homepage. Once again, just click the contact link on the homepage of our website, teachingtheword.org. Or if you prefer, you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. We also greatly appreciate the prayers and financial support of those who stand with us. If you would like to give a gift for the support of this broadcast and for all of the other aspects of our worldwide teaching ministry, you can also do that when you visit our website. Go to teachingtheword.org and you'll find a support link that will take you to a page where you can give a gift by credit card online, or you can print a gift form to mail to us with your check or money order. We thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Once again, our website is teachingtheword.org, and our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. On our next broadcast, we'll continue our study of the vital difference between genuine and counterfeit authority in Colossians chapter 2. Until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.